Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Hey everybody, it's time to Tapes and Scouts. Do you want a tape and scowl with me?
I do. I'm buying time currently.
Well, I'll keep singing so Max can do the thing he needs to do. I hit the button just a little bit early, girl. Don't you want a tape and scowl with me? Why you frowning, girl? You should be scowling as we ride a bicycle built for you.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That is a lot of implications.
So much, girl. You know me and my bicycles.
Bicycle.
No, don't do that.
Oh,
I don't want to. We can't afford that.
You going to get sued?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. So, yes, you have bought enough time.
Perfect.
I liked it.
Good. I asked Max a question and I said, well, I'm going to ask on the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, I don't actually know that answer.
Yep.
Well, welcome everybody proper to this episode. This is episode 103. Things are great. I'm good. Max, you good?
After that song, I'm fucking terrific.
Yeah, man. Whenever you need like a good song, you just call me and I'll sing to you.
I appreciate that.
You know, your kids won't go down at night. Call me. I'll sing to them.
Yeah, that's good. I need you to just keep the dog in order.
I will keep the dog in order.
It needs to keep its knives organized, which I've been trying to get it to do. And it just really doesn't like to do it.
It leaves them all over the place.
It's very, very bad because, again, you don't pay for the lights here. So you're walking around and you're just kind of trying to memorize when the little bit of light you get during the day, where the knives ended up. And I just keep telling them, if we laid them out neatly over here, I could walk around 12 to 15% of the room.
That's a pretty good number.
It is.
Just pacing back and forth.
Yeah.
My step and a half turn.
Yeah.
I like that.
Absolutely.
And you're wearing like this old monk's kind of get up. Like,
well, that's what you make me wear.
Yeah. It's made out of like a potato sack, but I've kind of fashioned it properly.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, it's turned my skin into like this callus now. So,
yeah. It's very rough.
Yeah. It's just basically, I'm like a pumice now. I'm a human pumice.
That's all I ever wanted.
Yeah. You got it.
Hey, well, I got a pumice, girl. You got a pumice. You got a pumice. You'll love me till the end of days. Max, we should probably talk about a movie.
Please.
All right. You want me to go first?
Yes, I do.
Well, I'm going to talk about a horror.
Ooh, I love horror.
It's based off of a classic fairy tale.
I love fairy tales.
And there's a spin on it because, of course, we can't do it the same.
No, I love spins.
Okay. It's Gretel and Hansel.
Ooh, that is a spin. They reversed the names.
They did.
Wow.
I was like, what? Is this even the same two people?
Wow. Could be anyone. Of those people.
Really good. This is from 2020. I think this one may have been completed a little earlier, but it got delayed. February 7th. IMDb minutes.
You are the minutes.
Big Boy did it.
That was a Sylvester Stallone delivery there.
I'm the minutes. I was going for Dick Tracy. Big Boy did it.
Oh, wow.
Big Boy did it. IMDb minutes.
I gotta go back and revisit that one.
Dude, I love that movie. I have it on VHS.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Just need a VCR. I think I do have one still. It's buried. 1 hour, 27 minutes. Genre fantasy, horror, mystery.
Mm.
It's kind of cool to have it be mystery.
Mystery.
It's very mystery as
I
well.
I like that.
Your IMDb summary. A long time ago in a distant fairy tale countryside, a young girl leads her little brother into a dark wood in desperate search of food and work, only to stumble upon a nexus of terrifying evil.
Whoa.
That person who wrote that summary should write greeting cards.
Yeah.
That was good.
Nexus.
A nexus of terrifying evil.
I love it. It's very good.
Podcast over, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to do any better with words than that.
No, I am not a nexus of anything.
Worse words are to come.
I'm sure. Bullet points. Well-made movie. Looks dark and gloomy the whole time.
Nice.
It almost depresses you because it's so dark and dreary.
That's cool.
Like, they really capture the mood.
Do they ponder weak and weary?
They were going to, but then, like, you know, didn't happen.
I see.
Sadly. Mm. Not enough good moments. Not a ton of bad. It's just kind of blah is kind of how I feel about this movie. Good twist near the end if you can make it that far.
Ooh.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun. There's a challenge.
There's a challenge. I'm going to do the Gretel challenge.
Yeah.
And it really looks better than it is.
Okay.
So the movie is your classic Hansel and Gretel or Gretel and Hansel. And the sequences with the old woman, that's probably a witch, everybody, are gross and dark. And there's some cool spins on it. But it's just like, it takes too long to get to the good parts.
Sure.
I don't want to say you could dumb it down to like It should be like an episode of something, like an hour-long episode, and it would be kind of perfect.
Yeah.
I do like how miserable the kids' lives are. Like, you feel bad for them. Like, the mother's dying. She can't feed them. She's like, just go out and try to survive. They go back. She's gone mad, and she tries to murder them.
Oh, my gosh.
Because she's lost her mind. She tries to eat them.
Yeah.
The mother. The regular, plain old mother.
These kids must be delicious.
They look delicious.
Every kid, everybody's trying to eat these kids.
Yep. They end up going into the woods. They can't find food. Some people are nice. Most people are not. They don't you know, whenever they come across people, they end up eating these mushrooms they should not eat. They get very high. And it just goes from there. They find the witch's area, and they don't realize how much trouble they're in until way too late.
That's cool.
So it's got that classic feel to it. I don't know. It's just not, it's not a poorly done movie. It just doesn't quite get there for me.
Well, yeah, like, what's the message here? These poor kids just get shit on? Like, the initial fairy tale was they're being greedy and they're getting lured to a house of food to devour.
Right, and that was a... I mean, then I guess that's a good change. It's just a slow...
Yeah, it's just like burn. The poor kids are just stuck suffering. It's like, I don't watch, you know what I mean, an hour and change of kids suffering in slow motion.
I thought I did, but you know what? I don't.
You don't. You're not as heartless as you thought.
I learned something about myself.
That's right.
So, the movie's okay. I think if you really like fairy tales, you should check it out just to see how dark this one really is.
A dark take on a fairy tale.
And I mean, it's one of those fairy tales where you don't have, like, this big macho savior coming in to save you. It's not...
Lumberjack!
Yeah, the lumberjack ain't coming in for you kids, you know? All right, so, to the scores. IMDb, 5.4. Rotten Tomato Critics, 64%.
Wow.
5 critics. The audience, 23%.
Whoa.
1,000 plus. Yeah, it's all over the place.
Yeah, it is.
I gave it a 5. I think you're going to take it or leave it.
Yeah.
My wife gave it a 6.0, so she liked it a little more.
She likes to torture children a little bit more than you do.
She likes torture. She likes slow, brooding, thriller, mystery stuff. And the mother-in-law, 5.5, in between both of us there on the scores. So, yeah. It's worth a watch once.
Okay.
Like, if there's really nothing else to watch.
Gotcha. And there's so much to watch.
There's so much to watch.
Sorry, Gretel and Hansel.
Yeah.
2017.
Hey, I remember that year.
Yeah, it was before things went completely dark on us.
That's right.
And brooding.
Oh, yes.
I watched this, not then, I watched this in 2020. I'd never seen it before, but I'd seen the movie it's based on. Oh. I watched The Disaster Artist.
Hey, there it is.
I watched this in August of 2020. Mm-hmm. It is 1 hour, 44 minutes. It is a drama / biopic directed by the James Franco, starring the James Franco, Seth Rogen, his brother Dave Franco, and Ari Grainer. I wrote that horribly.
It's okay.
IMDb summary, the story of Tommy Wiseau making his premiere film, The Room.
Hey, wait a minute, Max. Is this one an A24?
It was, in fact, distributed in the United States by A24. You are correct.
Maybe that is what I asked you.
That is exactly what Tim asked me. I was like, you know, I actually don't know. Yes. In the international market, it was distributed by Warner Brothers International.
Oh, look at you, Warner.
Yep.
And the Warner sister.
Yeah. Dot. Bullet point thoughts on this movie for me. Story works well because it's told through Greg, who plays Mark in The Room, which is not Tommy Wiseau's character.
Okay.
It's told through his eyes. So we get to kind of experience Tommy Wiseau the way we have, like, a parallel to experience Tommy Wiseau through, like, somebody who's like, just, he's a normal guy who's an actor. He can act. He's not like a stellar actor. He's not super well trained or anything, but he's trying to, you know what I mean, kind of break into Hollywood the way lots and lots of folks do.
Sure.
So he experiences this bizarre dude. You know what I mean? It's just like, who is this guy? What is his deal? And it's kind of like, you know what I mean? Hesitantly, like, or cautiously kind of steps into the world of Wiseau and what ends up becoming The Room.
Interesting.
So it's a pretty neat way to deliver it. Instead of just trying to tell the story, we actually have a, you know, kind of a proxy in the film to take us along through the journey and experience Wiseau and kind of give us somebody like, this is totally fucked up, right? Somebody next to us to go, you know, this is totally fucked up. So it's really nice to have that. IMDb gives us a 7.4 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 348 critics gave this 91%.
Wow.
Yeah. Audience, over 10,000 viewers gave this 85%. And I'm coming in kind of, again, towards the middle of the pack at an 8 out of 10. Really nicely done.
You and your darts. You're so good.
I am. That's good clustering there. It's really fun to see kind of how they did it, to go through the bizarre, like, holy crap, this is based on a book that was written about the production of the film. It's really interesting.
do they treat it lovingly?
Oh, definitely.
So they're not like, you know, shitting all over the guy.
No, not at all. And that's Tommy Wiseau makes an appearance in this film. Yes, he does.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really cool. Franco genuinely loves the room. Like, genuinely loves the room.
That seems like a thing Franco would do. Frank, I can never read Franco. He's all over the place.
He is a weird fucking dude.
But I like that he owns it.
Oh, yeah. He has no problem. And that's cool. I think that's great. I like that he's so genuine.
And he'll do something that's complete dog shit, and then he'll do, like, you know, 127 hours or whatever?
Yeah.
Which won some award.
He's a very talented actor, and he will do some projects where you're just like, what the hell was he doing? Like, what was he thinking doing this film? It's awesome. Good on him.
Yeah. Well, Max, next... I've got a pretty decent movie.
Ooh.
It is from 2018. It's called The Spinning Man.
The Spinning Man?
Spinning Man.
Whoa.
Yep, he just takes a baseball and he puts it into the ground and he runs around in circles.
Whoa.
For an hour and a half.
That's
really awesome.
That's a lot of fun.
It's not true at all.
Oh.
From February 9th is when I watched it. It's an hour 40. It is drama, mystery, thriller, directed by Simon Kiser.
Mm.
I believe is how that's said. It is spelled differently than I want to say it. Starring Guy Pearce.
Okay.
Pierce Brosnan.
A lot of piercing.
And Minnie Driver.
That's nothing to do with me. She may have ear piercings.
I think she does. So gonna sense. Say yes.
Yeah, I think it's a safe bet.
Your IMDb summary. A happily married professor, known for having many affairs with students, becomes the prime suspect when a young woman has gone missing. I put in little stars next to this. Fuck that description.
Okay.
Because I think it's a pretty shitty description. Basically, he's not... It's Guy Pearce's character.
Mm-hmm.
He had an affair once with a student, and it ruined his life. And, you know, like, he sat down with his wife. They said, okay, you know, we've got kids. I'll stay together. Don't ever do this shit again kind of thing. And they worked through it. And they moved to, like, when I say it ruined his life, it ruined his life. He was lucky to still get a job.
Yeah, sure.
At a different university.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So he's more or less on the up and up now. So he's not this scumbag who's constantly, like, just taking students and
trying to do right.
Yep. But there is this girl goes missing. She is presumed dead. And it is just trying to solve this. And he is a very good candidate to be the person who done it.
Right. And it's cool because you can't kind of, the ghosts of your past haunt you, which is a nice theme here.
Correct. So Guy Pearce is probably best known for what movie, Max? What would you say?
Oof. I don't know. I feel like you have an answer.
That answer to me
is
Memento.
I think that's, he's so good in that movie.
Yes. And in that movie, he has memory issues.
Yes.
In this movie, he has memory issues.
He's just very good at memory issues.
I guess so. It's kind of weird for him to take such a similar character,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
My first bullet point, easily the second best Guy Pearce movie where he has memory issues. nice supporting character in Jamie Kennedy and Alexandra Shipp, who is a Storm in the newer Fox movies.
Oh, okay.
She's super good in this.
That's cool.
And Clark Gregg shows up as a lawyer, which is super fun, because you know how Clark Gregg is basically Clark Gregg in every role.
I love Clark Gregg.
I also love Clark Gregg. I can never not see him doing the Britney Spears lip sync thing, wearing the getup from Toxic.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I love Clark Gregg.
Yeah.
Bronson plays a super mellow cop, and he is the opposite of Guy Pearce. So he'll just show up, and I'll just be like, what do you, he'll drop something and be like, I didn't do that. And he goes, well, who's saying you did?
Yeah.
And it's like a lot of like, what is this? And he's like,
trying to put him on edge.
And he does a great job.
That's cool.
Minnie Driver gets better as the movie flows. 0 to 100 real fast by the end. Things get pretty wild. So this is a slow burn. I think it's worth watching. It's just so strange because at first you don't realize Guy Pearce has memory issues.
Right.
Then as they're investigating, he's starting to think maybe he did do it and he can't remember.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So by the end of the movie, he's not sure if he did or not. Mm-hmm. There's actually a little bit of reason to suspect he may have.
Yeah.
Because he did randomly have contact with her.
Okay.
It was just a random thing.
Oh, interesting.
And knowing his past is what sticks him into this kind of questionable area. It is very good dramatic performances. Pierce Brosnan's so good in this.
He's awesome.
Like, he is just so chill the whole time. He never loses his cool. And like every time he shows up, you're just like, oh no. Because you're kind of rooting for Guy Pearce because you don't think he did it.
You don't want him to do it. Yeah, that's
great.
But
the more on edge Guy Pearce gets, the calmer Pierce Brosnan gets. That's awesome. Really an interesting movie.
That's a nice interplay.
Yeah, it's really well done. I kind of watched it just because I wanted to see those two act together. I didn't know if they would be, you know, foils for each other. They were.
They're opposing Pierces.
Opposing Pierces is my favorite thing.
Yeah.
So let's get to these numbers. IMDb, they gave it a 5.6.
Mm.
Not the strongest start.
Mm.
The Rotten Tomato critics, 12 of them. 42%.
Uh-ohs.
It's not going in the right direction. Rotten Tomatoes audience, 250 plus, 36%.
My goodness.
I think this movie's better than that. I have the highest score at a 6.0.
Wow.
I think the movie's good. You have to be in the mood for this kind of movie.
Right.
But it's also like when we talked about The Little Things, very cerebral. And if you stick with it, you'll get a good payoff.
That's cool.
Yeah. So if that's your thing, get on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Tim, I got a movie that's everybody's thing.
Oh my goodness.
1985.
Oh, almost the best year of the 80s.
Back to the Future.
Yes.
Yeah. I watched this in August of 2020. It is 1 hour and 56 minutes American. Genre is sci-fi comedy. It was directed by Robbie Z, Robert Zemeckis, starring the Michael J. Fox, Christopher Lloyd, and Leah Thompson, amongst a plethora of other people.
So many good people in this
There's
movie.
So many people in this franchise that's like, I'll slowly go over. Maybe I watch them all. I'll slowly get them all in there, minus Crispin Glover, because he's only in this one.
Fair.
So he gets a shout out. IMDb movie summary for those of you who are not watching. You're listening to a movie podcast. If you're not familiar with the basic summary of Back to the Future.
Yeah, you better be like maybe 2 years old or younger.
Yeah, like if you haven't seen Back to the Future, hit Tim up on Twitter and let him know how you've managed to avoid Back to the Future this long.
At @mad_doug_Tim.
Yes, please. The summary here for you, a high school student is accidentally sent 30 years into the past in a time-traveling DeLorean that's invented by a close friend and scientist.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. My thoughts on this movie is it's incredible.
It is.
This may be the best screenplay ever written.
Wow.
It's just such a good film from top to bottom. Everything they set up pays off. Everything.
Yep.
Every little stupid thing, including hitting a tree,
pays
off in this film. It's such a masterclass in how to tell an awesome story. The exposition, the entirety of this movie gets like what you are going to see in the first 20 minutes of this movie lay out the next 40 minutes of this film, and you don't even fucking realize it. That's how good this movie is.
Yeah, this movie's fantastic.
It's so perfect. Like, I just, like, I can't describe to you enough. Like, the screenplay on its own is absolutely incredible. And then on top of that, you get the astounding performances from the cast. Every single cast member fires on all cylinders in this film.
I'd say the star is Christopher Lloyd.
He's so good. Mm-hmm. The fact that, like, the makeups in this movie are so good. For the old age makeups are hard. Old age makeups are even harder when foam latex doesn't exist yet.
Sure.
Like, what the hell? Like, these makeups, and like, Doc Brown holds up, like old Doc Brown, and then you get the younger Doc Brown, the changes to the hair, like every department was so on point with what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Wardrobe, the aesthetics, Hill Valley itself, like everything is fucking so good. Like, it's so good. Like, I know I keep gushing over it, but it deserves every fucking that I've thrown into this description.
It absolutely does.
It's just so smart. It's so lovingly handled. It's so delicately handled.
Yeah.
It's just, you can tell everybody who was working on the project, like, cared a lot about making the project good. And Bob Zemeckis and Bob Gale, who wrote this, Gale produced, Zemeckis directed, they both were just so attentive to detail and kind of both at the top of their games here. We slowly kind of start to see Zemeckis start to spiral out into a man who just loves new technology, not so much making good films after this one.
Yeah.
He kind of reels it back in with Forrest Gump, I think, at a point, and then from there kind of loses complete control of his life.
Yeah.
Career, anyway. It's to me, he hasn't made a good movie since Forrest Gump.
I think I agree with you. I'd have to really stare at it, but I feel like you're right. Forrest Gump was amazing.
Yeah.
And then from there.
Yep. And it's just so good. It deserves, absolutely deserves its place as one of the most iconic films in the history of cinema. It totally deserves it.
Plus Biff.
Biff Tannen, phenomenal.
One of my favorite characters ever.
Butthead. He's so good. Why don't you make like a tree and get out of here? Like, there's just so, he's such a good villain. And one of my favorite performances in here is him when he's drunk.
Yes.
And he's groping Leia Thompson. It's nasty. Like, it feels rapey and wrong. And like, but Zemeckis does such a nice job of just letting it get that far. Like, that's all we need. We don't need to go crazy. Yep. We just need the look on his face and the way he grabs at her and the way she reacts to it is all you need. And it is filthy for this film. Sure. Like, it just feels so raunchy compared to what you've seen. And you've watched a woman just make out with her son.
Yep.
Like, it's so good. Oh, man, I love this movie so much.
It's very good.
IMDb gives this somehow an 8.5 out of 10, which is ridiculous.
Sure.
Come on, IMDb, what the fuck? Rotten Tomatoes critics. 84 critics went back and reviewed this to 96%, which is now we're talking. Audience, 250,000 plus.
Plus.
94%.
Nice.
I gave this, again, I don't do this very often.
Ooh, is it a 9.8?
It is a 9.8 out of 10. Back to the Future is glorious.
Yes, absolutely.
Don't need money. Don't need fame. Don't need no credit card to ride this train.